I love that verse that Daniel just shared with us, 1 John 1:9. And if you were meaning that when we just talked about it, of Jesus, forgive me, I trust you to forgive me, I trust you to purify me, to show me a better way, then you have a connection with Jesus, right? It's fresh. There's nothing between you and God because Jesus has taken it away. And we're picking up, we're starting a new series with the new year, and it talks about something that comes up over and over in Paul's writing about when somebody is a follower of Jesus, when they're part of a group of believers, Jesus, by his grace, gifts us. He puts a piece of himself in us. And spiritual gifts can be confusing, they can be scary, they can be something people just avoid. But we can't be the fullness of Jesus if we ignore the things the Holy Spirit has put inside of us. And in this series, when we're talking about what are these gifts that God's put inside us, but if you're here today and you're like, yeah, I know I need Jesus' forgiveness and I trust him to show me the right way to live, then he has come inside of you and he's put something inside of you that is a little different than what anybody else has. We're going to explore it in a passage today, but I want to start, we're going to be looking at a bunch of passages in this series on spiritual gifts, and if we can put up this first slide, Gifted is the name of the series, but I came across this song, Whispering Danny and Shane have known about it for a long time. It's an old Johnny Cash song, Lord, 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 but I just came across it for the first time about a month ago. I've been listening to it a bunch, because in it, Johnny Cash is asking about, like, is there a place for me? And we're going to get into some more of the lyrics as we go on. But maybe you're here today and you're trying to figure that out. Maybe you came in with a bunch of problems. Or maybe you came in with a lot of pressure. But does God have a place for you of purpose? A place for you of belonging? That's what we're going to be looking at in this series. And before we get too far, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 12 if you want to turn there. But I want to show you one more slide. Kind of a bunch of organs. And in 1 Corinthians 12, the second half of that chapter, Paul uses an analogy. He says that the church is supposed to be like a body, where Christ is the head, but all of us are different organs, and we need each other, and we all have a purpose, right? And this text is way too small. I can read it barely. I'm super close to the screens, but I bet you guys cannot read it. You don't have to be able to read it, but we've all seen pictures of organs and stuff before. But even though we all have a pancreas, and maybe we've heard of a pancreas, as of like a week ago, if you told me, like, here's a sheet of paper, draw a pancreas, it would have just been a guess, right? It would have been like kind of curvy something, you know? And when you hear pancreas, some of you might be like, isn't that connected to diabetes? Like, doesn't it have to do with insulin? And a couple years ago, that's all I would have been able to tell you, right? It's like pancreas and diabetes. Insulin, some stuff there. I'm not going to get super deep into here and get emotional about it, but like my dad died of pancreatic cancer, and seeing him go through that sickness of his pancreas not working, I learned a little bit about the pancreas just because it wasn't working anymore. And something I learned pretty quickly was like he had some stomach issues because your pancreas actually produces a whole bunch of the stomach acid that your body uses, which I never knew that before. And I bring up all this to say, I've had this experience some, and my guess is a bunch of people in the room have had this experience, where you're working at some job or you're working on some team and you're doing a bunch of stuff that maybe other people don't realize you're doing, and it's not till after you're gone that you hear appreciation about, like, oh man, we miss you. I had no idea that this or that was so hard, right? Has anybody ever had that experience of you leave someplace and then you're finally appreciated once you're not there anymore? The pancreas thing was kind of like that. And my guess is for most of our organs, I mean, if you walked around being thankful for all your organs do, like you probably wouldn't do anything else. They're doing a lot of things. If any one of them stopped working, it would probably, I mean, almost any one of them stopped working, it would probably ruin your life type of thing, you know? But when they're all working, it's easy to take them for granted, right? It's not till they stop working that you're like, oh man, I wish my pancreas worked, or I wish whatever worked. If you've known that pain of not being noticed or not being appreciated, you're actually a step ahead for one of the final challenges I'm going to give you in this talk. But right at this front, I want to say that Maywood doesn't have fully functioning organs, right? Like, we don't have everybody in their sweet spot, healthy, giving and receiving both, right? Because all the organs in your body, they all give something to your body, and they all receive something from your body, right? Like, cancer is the only thing in the body that just takes. Everything else in the body, like, gives and receives both. And at Maywood, sometimes we got some people that are really good at giving, but they don't really want to be helped, right? They don't really want to receive or need others. We got other people that maybe want to receive but don't want to give, or maybe just folks that don't know how to be a part yet, right? Like, you don't know what you're supposed to be doing. So if you're in that spot, I want us to pray before we read the Bible. It's always a good idea to pray before we read the Bible, right? Like, God inspired the writers of the Bible, but it only really works right for us if he also inspires us as we read it, right? Like, we need his help as we read it. So let's pray before we open up the Bible. Jesus, I thank you for that promise that we were given, that you forgive us when we confess our sins, and that you take responsibility to purify us, to lead us to a new life. Jesus, I pray today you'd open our hearts to the gifts that you're given us as a church. Help us to use our gifts together to serve the common good and to serve you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you've got a Bible, we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 through 12. And one of the things I'm going to talk about today is some other stuff in Corinthians that we're not going to have time to get to in the sermon. But if you're a note taker, you could write some notes. I'll give you some other passages that we're not going to be able to look at as a whole group, but they would take you further. Okay, but 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 4, it's going to be talking to us about spiritual gifts. And it's going to start with kind of a three different ways to talk about spiritual gifts. So verse 4 says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. That's talking about the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit parcels it out, right? Like, gives each one of us the gift that he's decided we need, or gifts that he's decided we need, right? So you don't have to decide. He decides for us, right? But there's different ones. We're not all doing the same thing. Verse 5, there are different kinds of service. Instead of saying gifts here, it talks about service, but those are linked. When a spiritual gift is functioning right, it should be serving. It says, but the same Lord. Here, when it's talking about Lord, that's talking about Jesus Christ, right? So we have Holy Spirit, then we have Jesus. Verse 6, there are different kinds of working, because even though it's the Holy Spirit's power, we put effort into it. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, and this is talking to a church in Corinth, to all these Christians, it is the same God at work. So this is talking about God the Father. The word Trinity doesn't come up anywhere in the Bible, but how do we get that concept as Christians? It's from verses like this, where we see God the Father and Jesus the Son and the Holy Spirit all working in unity, all working together, right? And this isn't the only passage, but this is one of many, right? So here we get this idea of, just like the Trinity is this connected thing, not thing, but person, we see spiritual gifts mentioned right alongside service and working, that those things should all be connected. A gift is something you receive without deserving it, right? The Holy Spirit doesn't give somebody the gift of teaching or the gift of healing because they're a superstar. It's because it's a gift, right? But it's also meant to serve other people, and it's meant to involve work. If you're not trying hard to serve other people with the gifts God's given you, then you're doing it wrong, right? Like, it does take effort. So we see, like, all those principles right at play right away. It's a gift the Holy Spirit gives us, but it's meant to serve, just like Jesus, and it's meant to involve some work. When God created Adam and Eve way before sin, he gave Adam a job, right? Like, work, as much as we try to avoid work and think like, oh, if I just had enough money, I'd never work again or something, like, that's actually like deceptive thinking. Like, the ultimate life that God has for you, it does involve work. Like, if everything was perfect, you'd still have work, right? Like, God wants us to be putting in effort. Jobs or individual work on earth can become bad, but the concept of work isn't bad for humans, okay? So that's our introduction, right? We crash course in Trinity and spiritual gifts. Now we're going to get my favorite definition of spiritual gifts throughout the whole Bible. It's in verse 7. It says, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Now that's some big syllable words there, right? Manifestation, when I was talking about that with a youth I really like, he was like, wait, is that talking about like manifesting? And he's talking about like kind of this like fad spirituality of like, if we imagine stuff real hard, we can kind of have praying without God and get what we want. I don't know if you guys have heard that, but like if you picture that this was made of solid gold, if you imagine it enough, it can manifest to be solid gold. It's kooky, right? It's like, let's have prayer without God is like the concept of that. That's not exactly what this verse is saying, but when you hear manifest, that might be what you're thinking. But manifestation, what it's talking about, it's as if the thing manifested were there. So when the Chiefs' third-string quarterback is in, if he would manifest Patrick Mahomes, you know, he'd be laying a shoulder in and also able to, like, throw 50 yards, right? So, like, that's the idea. Here it's saying if Chase is operating in a spiritual gift, it should be as if the Holy Spirit, as if the Spirit of Jesus were right there doing it, right? So if D is operating in a spiritual gift, it's as if Jesus is in the room doing that thing. If Nevaeh is teaching with the spiritual gift of teaching, it's as if Jesus is in the room teaching through her, right? So a spiritual gift, it's not just something you're talented at. Like, people that don't believe in Jesus can be talented, right? A spiritual gift is, it's as if Jesus himself were doing that thing through you, okay? It should be as if he's in the room, manifested there, right? And it's not given so you can get a bunch of TikTok followers, or it's not given so you can get rid of your guilt and feel good about your identity or something. It's given for, what are those last two words? Common good, right? For us as a group, right? So if you have a spiritual gift and you're holding on to it, you're stealing from the rest of the church, if that makes sense, right? Like, God gave you that with an expectation of, this is your chance to help other people, right? And as a whole, when we're using our spiritual gifts, we should be blessing our neighborhood, right? It shouldn't just be about making these four walls awesome or something, right? So to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit's given for the common good. So if you believe that God keeps his word, then you got to believe that having accepted Jesus, he's put some of himself inside of you. I love my Cherise, like, I make good deviled eggs, right? You know, I love that. That wasn't a bad statement, right? Like, if you have a terrible view of yourself and you think, I can't do anything good, I just mess stuff up, then you're not trusting what God's saying right here. Because God's saying, like, he's put a piece of himself, the Holy Spirit's put a gift in you that other people need, right? So it's not humility to say, like, I can't do anything good. It's doubting God's promise here. Like, God can and wants to do something that only Jesus can do. He wants to do that through you, okay? It's okay to feel like I can't do it on my own, like we need God's help. But it's not okay to feel like God can't do this through me, right? Sometimes our self-doubt gets so big, it covers up our faith in God. And that's when it's really messed up, right? Like, we got to trust God more than we doubt ourselves, okay? Verse 8. It's going to start giving us a list of spiritual gifts. And I'm going to talk about each one of these and what do they mean real briefly. In the coming weeks, we're going to look at other lists of spiritual gifts. None of them are exactly the same. And I think that's in the Bible for a reason, to show us these aren't exhaustive lists. This isn't the only way Jesus can shine through you. These are just examples to show us pieces of how it works. So to one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. Now, you're going to get some Jake Taylor definitions. I could be wrong, right? But I'm going to try to expound this a little bit. What do these mean? So an example of a message of wisdom would be somebody not just too smart, like Warren Buffett's good at investing or something, right? But somebody who, it's as if Jesus were there, able to see like what's important, right? When you look at the Gospels, a lot of times there's a topic, and then Jesus turns totally the other direction, and it's like, this is the important thing. Let's talk about this. And he'll hit people with truth that they really need to respond to about what's wise. That's what the message of wisdom is about. It's about the ability of somebody to see, like, here's what's wise, and to share it in a way that other people have a chance to respond. When a spiritual gift is in operation, it should be like when Jesus was here on earth. When Jesus is with people, they're either getting closer to God or farther away. There's no standing still when Jesus is in the room. Like, you're either going to push back and be like, I don't want that, or you're going to change and become more loving, joyful, peaceful. Like, you're going to become more like God, right? More connected to God. So when someone's operating in a message of wisdom, they should be giving somebody a chance to grow more like Jesus, right? They have the right words at the right time in the right way. That's the message of wisdom. Message of knowledge is a little bit different. Still, all these gifts you can see in Jesus' life, right? But the message of knowledge would be like when Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, and she's like kind of trying to talk vaguely without lying about herself. And Jesus is like, you're right. You can't go home to your husband because the guy you're with right now isn't your husband, and you've had all these other husbands. That's a message of knowledge. That's like it's facts that humanly you wouldn't know, but because of God's insight, you do know, right? So they're slightly different, but the Holy Spirit's working through both of them. Is that hopefully that's making sense? We're a big enough crowd. You got to really tell me if it's not making sense. But okay, verse 9. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. I'm going to pause again. Every Christian is supposed to have faith, right? Hebrews 11 talks about faith as being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we don't see. It's about trusting that if we seek God, like, that's going to be good for us, right? It's all this stuff from Hebrews 11. Every Christian needs to have faith. So why is faith mentioned as a spiritual gift? Some people can have, like, a Jesus level of faith. And it's just different. I don't know exactly how to explain it, but, like, when Jesus is walking around with the disciples, a lot of times he's like, where is your faith? Why are you guys afraid when you shouldn't be afraid, right? Jesus is sleeping in the boat during a storm, and when the disciples freak out, he's like, where's your faith, right? Like, there's something about faith that can be Christ-like, that's like every normal Christian would be freaking out right now. But the person with the spiritual gift of faith is on a different level, right? And they can bring calm to a whole group, right? They can bring challenge of like, we should trust God in this moment instead of freaking out, right? Okay? Some of these can be confusing to see. Like, is that a spiritual gift? Or did that person just have good parents or something? You know, or like, you know, it's kind of like, what? I don't know which one this is. The next one's pretty clear. Gift of healing, right? Like, if somebody came in and healed somebody who was missing a leg or something, right? You know, like, we would know right away. Like, I don't think that one, I'm not confused about that one. Like, I think Jesus just did something through that person, right? Obviously, there's really evil, like, con artists and other people out there that fake this one even, right? But you got to be pretty diabolical to fake this sort of thing. I also want to mention here real quickly, like, this is the Bible. It's talking to us about things the Holy Spirit can do. Also, Maywood, like, I've not seen this the way that I see it in the Gospels here at Maywood. It's not that I've never seen Jesus heal powerfully through prayer when we've been praying about something. But when we look at Jesus' life, we need to look with eyes of, like, the Holy Spirit wants to do the stuff through us that Jesus was doing here on earth. We're not totally there yet. It's okay to not totally be there, but it's also good to be hungry for more. It's okay to pray for, like, Jesus, help me have the gift of healing. One more thing about gift of healing is I believe Jesus gives these gifts out today, right? I think if you have the gift for teaching and you're at a church long enough, you're probably going to figure it out. I think if you have a gift of hospitality and you're at a church long enough, you're probably going to just stumble into it and figure it out. I think some people have the gift of healing and they just never get encouraged and they never get pushed and they just don't even know to try and they maybe never figure out that they have the gift of healing. I remember being a teenager at one of my first jobs working at a concession stand. I was using this smoker and I saw a guy in a wheelchair and praying about, like, God, please heal that guy. And do you want me to do anything about it, right? And being nervous to go pray for the guy. I can tell you, I've prayed for a couple people in wheelchairs. I can tell you that, as you probably have guessed already, since this has never come up before, like, those people, like, stayed in wheelchairs, right? There wasn't, like, a, wow, Jake is the next gifted a healing person, something, right? I have had some times where I've known God's told me to pray something miraculous, and I've seen it happen. I've never felt God told me to pray over somebody for healing in that same sort of way. But what I will say is I wanted it enough that I tried, and I would encourage you, like, don't make a fool of God. Like, don't promise stuff that he hasn't told you. Don't say stuff that he hasn't told you. But if you want to pray for somebody in a bold way, like ask Jesus for an opportunity to do it in a way that still glorifies him, right? Like Jesus protected me. None of those people that I prayed over in wheelchairs, like I think came away with any sort of bad feeling about Jesus, right? I don't want you to go through your whole life and then show up and meet Jesus someday and be like, I'm, you know, come on in. I'm happy you're part of the family. But like, by the way, dude, like you could have been healing people the last 30 years you were alive. Why didn't you try? You know, it'd be depressing to hear that, right? Like, I don't know about depressing. Once you're with Jesus, maybe not. But like, let's not miss out on it just because we don't try, okay? Verse 10. To another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still to another interpretation of tongues. I got to speed this up a little bit. But miraculous powers, that's different than gifts of healing. You see Jesus do some stuff in the New Testament that's not healing, but it is miraculous, right? Again, the Holy Spirit's the one that gifts these, that inspires it. Just like Jesus' gifts pointed to God the Father, like when we're operating in the Holy Spirit, like we should be pointing to Jesus, right? To another prophecy. Prophecy doesn't have to be predicting the future, but it's this idea of inspired by God with a message. And a lot of times it has to do with we should repent and respond to God's holiness. We should take care of the poor. Some themes that you see in like the minor prophets that come up a lot. There's some good guidance there. It can be stuff about what's going to happen in the future, but it doesn't have to be. To another distinguishing between spirits. We have our own ideas running through our head. But then I believe there's spiritual stuff going on too. And random stuff will pop into your head or be going on. And some people are better at discerning. Like that's something evil going on over there. Or that's an evil thing I should reject or we should reject as a group. And this is something that has to be figured out over time. Like how do we trust each other with that? But again, like if you're doing the basics with Jesus, it helps your spiritual gifts be more powerful, right? If you're already an honest person and people trust you as being honest, then when you tell them, like, I know everyone's real excited about that new teacher, but I'm telling you something's off. Something's evil about this, right? And, like, we should figure it out together. We should have pause. But if that person has this gift of distinguishing, like, they may be ahead of the curve on figuring out what we should be careful with, okay? With speaking in tongues and interpreting tongues, I'm going to hit pretty quick, but Mabo Baptist Church is like a lot of Baptist churches in the sense of like there's not a ton of speaking in tongues that happens inside of this room. Right across the street are friends at Inglewood. I bet they've probably been speaking in tongues already this morning, I would assume, right? Like there's a lot more of it going on there. This is a tragedy about denominations. Like I think if we were perfect Christians here on earth already, we wouldn't have any denominations, right? Like denominations are because we're still broken, right? If you have the gift of speaking in tongues, you feel a lot more comfortable across the street, maybe, than you would right in this room. And that's tragic, right? Like, every church needs all the gifts, right? Speaking in tongues can be, like when the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, it can be speaking in a different language, like Spanish or something like that. But also, when you read 1 Corinthians, it's really clear it also can be a language that no human can understand without it being spiritual. I can tell you more about speaking in tongues if you're curious about it. One thing I want to point out for all of us is that, or two things, I guess. One, it's right here in the Bible. Like, we can trust that it can be good, right? It can be a gift of the Holy Spirit. Second thing I want to point out is the interpretation of tongues that gets mentioned here. You might be thinking, like, and I got this thought from Michael Green, an experience he had, but you might be thinking, like, what's the point of speaking in tongues? Why can't God just give somebody a gift of prophecy and tell us the message, like, clear? If Mason had the gift of speaking in tongues and stood up and by the Holy Spirit said something that none of us could understand, that would be strange. I also don't know like what would we do with it. Like I don't know what would be our next step. But then if Chase stood up and was like, no, the rest of you could understand this, but like God was doing something to me, and I understand perfectly that like God's telling us that Jake stole some donuts this morning and he needs to repent or something, you know, right? Then, as a group, it would be different than someone just having a prophecy, right? It would be this idea that the Holy Spirit moved through us as a group, as a body, which would be very beautiful, right? It would kind of be a protection from, like, the hero prophet. It would be this thing of, like, we need each other to hear from God. Now, that's just one example. Here's the thing about the Holy Spirit is we're not going to understand it all. It's going to be an adventure, but we can trust the Holy Spirit, like, beyond our understanding, right? And we're not going to get it all perfect. We know that about ourselves, right? But we're not alone when we're doing stuff with the Holy Spirit. Okay, so verse 11 and 12, all those different gifts and other ones that aren't mentioned in those verses, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. If you're real familiar with our Ephesians 4 vision passage, it talks about Jesus giving gifts as He determines. So again, that overlap between the Holy Spirit and Jesus, right? This idea of like, Jesus is in charge of the spiritual gifts that He wants to give to Sonny, right? Like, I don't have to decide it. Nobody else has to. We have to respond to what Jesus is doing, right? Okay, verse 12. Last verse we're going to hit today and just kind of a preview of the next section. It says, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. So the rest of the chapter is beautiful. If you want to know more about if you want to know more about spiritual gifts in general, the rest of the chapter talks to us about this body analogy in detail. Then chapter 14 will talk to us more about prophecy and speaking in tongues if you want to read any of that. I want to talk to us a little bit about this Johnny Cash song and then a couple of kind of practical things for you to hit. So here's real quick from Johnny Cash. His little song says, Lord, 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 is there a place for me in the scheme of things in the service of the King? This is a good question for you to be wondering, like, God, where's my place? I believe Jesus has a place of service for you. I know somebody in the room I respect really well. They've told me, like, I don't want to lead stuff here at Maywood because God's called me to be leading stuff with some other groups in the city. And they're taking people from Maple House out to breakfast every Saturday and stuff like that, right? It doesn't have to be inside of Maywood to be serving Jesus. But all of us are called to be serving Jesus somehow, right? I'm going to read a couple more lines from this song. It says, there's no job too great. As I grow in faith, there's no job too great. I think most of us at Maywood, we're going to think too badly of ourselves to do all the stuff that Jesus wants us to do. You don't have to have faith in yourself. Have faith that God can use you in your weakness. I think that was Thomas that was sharing that earlier, right? One more lyric slide. There's no job too small. Because I'm one with all, there's no job too small. If you're looking at that in the context of 1 Corinthians 12 at least, like, we're supposed to all be this body, right? Picking up trash in the hallway, like, it's not too small for Jesus to do. When you look at how Jesus acts in the Gospels, He's not above acts of service, right? And so for us, like, if we're serving each other, there's nothing that's, like, too humble for us to do, right? You can, maybe Jesus wants you to do something that you think's beneath you, but can you do it with His power, His love? If you're here today and you're like, Jake, I've thought about my spiritual gifts. I don't know what my gifts are. I want to give you a quick analogy, something I learned from a video game, so sorry for that, but I got this little Nintendo controller. When I was in elementary school, there was a game I played a lot, and it had this second quest if you beat it. It was super crazy to figure out where all the levels were. And in my 20s, I could never beat the second quest as a little kid. In my 20s, I got this weird little security gig where I had to stay overnight at a new gas station that wasn't open. And they're like, you can do TV or whatever, just stay awake. And so I took my old Nintendo. I was like, here's my chance. I'm going to play this game and try to beat it. And so in my 20s, I played it, but I played it different than I did as a little kid. As a little kid, I'm picturing myself as a little character and trying to figure out, where is this level at? In my 20s, I thought, here's all the items I have. If I were making this game, if I were the game developer, where's the hardest place that I could hide this level? And that, like, flip of, instead of trying to look at it through the character's eyes, trying to look at it through the game developer's eyes, I found it real quickly. It was, like, in the most ridiculous spot it could be in, right? For you, if you've been wondering, like, what's my purpose, and you haven't come up with it, maybe you've been trying for years to come up with it, right? Maybe you need to flip, like, the way that you're looking at the problem. And what I mean by that is, all this pressure you might put on yourself to find a purpose, maybe you just start trying stuff. And doing it in a loving way with the guess that, like, how bad could this go if I lovingly try to do something the way Jesus would? And you just start doing it. And you see it more as like you're turning over rocks looking for a treasure than like you're about to take the SATs and you're going to ruin your whole life. You know, like, don't look at it like that, right? Okay? One more tip, back to the organs. This is what we'll close on. I talked at the beginning about have you ever been at a job and not been appreciated until you were gone? Just like our organs, sometimes we don't appreciate them until they get sick. In 1 Corinthians 13, I'm borrowing this from John Ortberg, but in 1 Corinthians, we all hear about chapter 13 at like weddings and things like that, of like love is patient, love is kind, it gets on little fridges and quilted and stuff like that. One of the things Paul says about love is he says it doesn't envy, it doesn't boast. And John Ortberg was pointing out, like, when you read 1 Corinthians earlier, Paul is really critical of Corinth for envying and for boasting. And suddenly 1 Corinthians takes like some teeth when you read it in context of like, ooh, that stings. If you're like, love's the best way, and these things that you've been failing at, I'm going to specifically mention like those are not loving. It's like, oh, that hits a lot harder than like the Hallmark card or the quilt or something, right? Sometimes, you know, Satan wants us to take the things that hurt us and use them to separate us from everybody else, to push us away, to isolate us. But you can kill that temptation, and Jesus can resurrect it. And what do I mean by that? The thing that hurt you about being overlooked, it can actually teach you how to appreciate other people. The pain that you experienced is like a first-class teacher on how to love someone else. Now you know how you felt and how you got overlooked, and you have different eyes to see someone else who's being overlooked and who's in danger of that same pain. And as much as we want to figure out our spiritual gifts, maybe the real question to ask this week is, how has Jesus gifted other people in this room? Jesus, would you show me somebody else's gift? And I think Jesus is more likely to tell you if you're going to do something about it. So if you would say, Jesus, I'll encourage somebody if you'll show me their gift. And so maybe it doesn't have to be you figure out all your own stuff this week. Maybe you see a gift in somebody else in this room and you say, hey, Chad, when you do this thing, it's just like Jesus was here working beside me, right? If Jesus gives you that sort of insight, tell it to the person he tells you, right? And if you get good at seeing spiritual gifts in other people, my guess is along the way you're going to figure out what your spiritual gifts are, okay? Let me pray a blessing over you guys. Bow your heads. Jesus, I pray you would open our eyes to the gifts you've put in other people. I pray you give us courage and the right words to encourage them. Jesus, help Maywood to be full of your gifts. Help us to use all the power you give us to serve. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.